My brothers and my sisters, there's a strategy in warfare. There's a strategy in warfare that when you were dealing with a fortified city, especially in ancient warfare, and they would put the city under siege. And what they would do is if there was a fortified city, a city that had high walls, a city that had strong defenses, that what the opposing army would do is they would encamp themselves around the city and block off the lines of supply so nothing could get in, nothing could get out, so that they would just wait out those who were inside that city. A siege could take months, a siege even could take years, but a siege was a situation in which they did not have to necessarily waste their defenses on fighting their enemy, but they could wait out their enemy, hoping that their enemy's supplies would be depleted. In other words, if you cut off their sources of supply, their trade routes, then nobody could get food in, and so the city would have to depend on what it had in storage to live off of, and the opposing army was depending on the fact that if it waited them out long enough, it could starve them out, and the people would surrender as a result of starvation and disease. It's a very interesting thing when you look at that concept, because anybody who grew up in this region in the early 90s remembers there was a TV show called City Under Siege. You would sit and you would watch TV and you would watch the police run up into houses that maybe you even knew. Amen, somebody. Lock up people maybe you even knew. That you would watch in the Washington, D.C. area during the crack era. Amen. When D.C. was known as the murder capital of the world, and they said the city was under siege. That you looked at the city and it was a challenging time because they called it a city under what? Siege. But even some of us in our own lives right now, we feel like that our life is under siege. Then when we look at our life, it's like the enemy is set a blockade, keeping out the things that could be a blessing to our lives. And we often feel like in our lives we are under siege. Some of y'all ain't had nobody ring your phone in a long time. Your relationships are under siege. To some of us in our finances, you go to the bill collector is calling your phone and scaring your wife when you ain't home. Your finances are under siege. When you look, your children are acting like they baby's kids, and you and the daddy ain't named baby. Amen, somebody. That your family is under siege. It's a very interesting thing that it oftentimes it can feel like our communities are even under siege. We feel like cities under siege. And if you look at their concept, what you will find is in this scripture, what we will find is Samaria was under siege. What you will find is the Arameans had come, and they had come as a form of warfare. Samaria had good defenses, was a fortified city, and they decided, the Arameans, that instead of fighting them, what the Arameans would do was they would just sit and wait them out. And so what you find is the king of Samaria one day was walking along the wall. The city was starving. Everybody was starving. The little small things were going for major money. Inflation had set in, and no one had anything to eat. And this woman came to him, and this woman said, "King, I've got an issue with this other woman." And said, "What's your issue, ma'am?" And she said, "Well, you know, we've been starving, and we made a deal. We made a deal that on one day that we cooked my son. Lord have mercy. I'm talking about they were starving so bad they cooked. And said, but on the other day, when we went to cook her son, she hid her son. I need you, King, to do something about this situation." The king got upset, and he got so upset that he was mad at God. He said that this challenge, this problem that we are facing is from God. Anybody here, sometimes you get mad at God for what's going on in your life? Amen, somebody? Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all real sanctified. Y'all don't never get mad at God. Any preachers, you ever get mad at God about some stuff and you sitting here like, what in the world is happening? I've been trying to do right, trying to live right, and all hell is broken loose in my life. The king was mad at God, and so the king said, "I'm going to kill Elisha, the prophet of God." Amen. The king says, "I'm going to kill Elisha." Goes by to have his people go and chop off Elisha's head. When he goes to chop off his head, Elisha tells him, "By this time tomorrow," turn to your neighbor and say, "tomorrow," that everything is going to be all right. Amen. One of the first things you've got to understand if you're dealing with a seed situation is don't eat the baby. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't eat the baby. Don't eat the baby." It's a very interesting thing. I told you all that this mother went and ate. They had her child for dinner. Lord have mercy. It's a horrible thing. This seems like the Halloween message. Amen, somebody. They had the child for dinner. You will do some horrible things when you lose your hope. You will do some unspeakable things when you lose your hope. That when you have lost your hope, and that's what the enemy wants to do. Oftentimes, is the enemy doesn't want to necessarily have to beat you up. The enemy just wants to steal your hope. That what the Aramaeans understood is that if we can just wait them out, that we don't have to stab them, that we don't gotta cut them. That all we got to do is wait them out and let them lose their hope. Lord have mercy. All we've got to do is let their resources deplete. And when they lose their hope, they'll start to do unspeakable things. Lord have mercy. And they're bound to give up. Somebody in the house today, I've come by to tell you, don't you eat the baby. Amen. Don't you eat the baby. For a mother to eat her child, I'm talking about her baby is her legacy. This is her son, the one that's going to be able to help the generations go forward. Her baby is the one that's going to grow up to help take care of her. And she eats the very thing that's going to help her to be able to get along later in her life. But the challenge is not just that she ate her baby. She ate her baby too soon. She ate her baby too soon. Let me help somebody. Somebody, you about to give up too soon. You about to give up, and you right on the edge of your breakthrough. You about to give up, and God's right about to turn it around. That if you look at the scripture, what you will find is she ate her child. It must be a horrible thing, Lord have mercy, to be the mother that when God does the breakthrough for whole of Samaria, when God works it out, when God turns it around, that you sitting there and you realize if you had waited 3 more days, Lord have mercy, that you could have been with your baby and it was food enough for everybody. If you just waited just a little bit longer, that God already had a plan in effect. That if you had just held on just a little bit longer, I've come by to talk to somebody here today to tell you, don't you lose your hope. But God brought you to community of hope so you could hold on just a little bit longer. Tap your neighbor and say, God can do it in an instant. That tomorrow, Lord have mercy, is just a day away. Hold on just a little while longer. These heavy burdens, they about to soon pass over. Tomorrow is just a day away. The second thing I want to tell you today is you need to stop dancing. Stop dancing. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop dancing. Stop dancing. I know that sounds a little weird for a pastor to tell you to stop dancing, because you're used to me talking about in praise and worship. I would want you to dance. I would want you to celebrate. But I learned a lesson from a 21st century poet by the name of Cardi B. Amen, somebody. And Cardi B said, in Bodak Yellow, I don't dance now. I make money moves. Amen, somebody. But then she goes on to say, I don't have to dance, I make money move. Amen, somebody. Now, y'all have to excuse me, because, you see, I thought it was moves in both sentences. Amen, somebody. But it's moves in one and move in a second. It shows her lyrical progression. Amen, somebody. Because in the first one, she says, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Lord have mercy. And then she says, I don't have to dance because I make money move. Lord have mercy. Okay, that went over somebody's head. But if you understand Sister Cardi B's testimony, she used to be a stripper. Amen, somebody. And she used to be a stripper, but she's saying, I don't dance now. Amen, somebody. Because I make what? Money moves. Lord have mercy. And she said, I don't have to dance because, you see, I used to move for money, but now money moves for me. Lord have mercy. I make money. Ay, 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 ay. Lord have mercy. Somebody, you got to stop dancing. You got to stop. See, what Cardi B shows me is something I learned from the lepers here in this scripture. If you look at the lepers in this scripture, what you will find is that the lepers, it said, were outside the entrance of the city gate. They were at the entrance of the city gate, and they made a decision. They said, look, man, there was 4 of them. They said, look, are we going to starve here? We're going to die here. So why don't we just go and turn ourselves over to the Arameans? If they kill us, we was going to die anyway. But if they don't kill us, at least we're going to eat and we're going to be all right. Amen, somebody? And what happens is, if you know the story, that when they got to the camp of the Arameans, that God had already spoken a word and sent a sound in the air. The Arameans thought an army was on the way. And the Arameans had run off. Lord have mercy. And their whole camp, they left everything there. I'm talking about every bit of resource, every bit of finance, every bit of food. And so here you've got these lepers. says, Lord, have mercy. They left the city gate. They said, okay, let me help y'all. Here's how I got this. And I said, you got to stop dancing. You see, a Cardi B understood that the things I used to do, I don't got to do right now because I had to shift some things. There were some things I used to do in order to make it that I shifted some things in my life. Lord, have mercy. And I don't have to do that to make it anymore. Y'all went over your head. Let me come back for you. You see, the lepers, Lord, have mercy. And that society did not live in the city because leprosy was a disease in which they were considered unclean. And they could not live among the regular population. So the lepers lived in what would be leper colonies or situations of lepers outside the city. But the Bible says they were at the entrance of the city gates. But that's because the city gates were the place where the commerce of the city took place. And so it was the lepers' tradition to come to the city gates where all the business was taking place to beg for money, Lord have mercy, to be able to get something to help them move along their way. Now what gets me is the city is under siege. The city is in a famine. The people they used to beg are now beggars, but they're still at the city gates. And they cannot get what they used to get where they at. But because out of habit, they still find themselves in the same old place. Is there anybody here that you find yourself sometimes in the same old place with the same old folks doing the same old stuff? But turn to your neighbor and tell them, stop dancing. You don't got to dance no more. It's time for you to make mountain moves. It's time for you to make mountains move. Have I got somebody in the house today? Say, baby, I don't dance no more. I make mountain moves. That I don't have to dance. That I make mountains move. Because the word of God says, if I've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, I can look at this mountain and say, mountain, move. Get out my way. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't dance no more. But I'm living. Ooh, for the Lord. Hey, I got to go, but I got one more point to shoot. And the third thing you've got to understand is it's already there. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's already there. It's all. Woo! Turn to somebody else, tell them it's already there. It's already. It's already there. One of the things I learned from this text, one of the challenges for many of us is we spend so much time looking at what we don't have that we don't spend enough time identifying where the resources are. That we spend so much time talking about what we don't have that we don't go and look around and see where the stuff is that we need. But I've come to challenge Community of Hope that I don't care what you don't have. I want you to do a reconnaissance mission this week, and I want you to go and I want you to start looking for the stuff you need, the finances you need. You need to find out who's got it, the resources you need. You need to find out who's got it, because what the people in Samaria had to understand was what they had was already right there. Lord have mercy, that everything they needed was right in front of them. They just needed God to open up the floodgates. You see, that when you look, when the man came to Elisha, Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, God's about to turn it around. The man said, even if the floodgates of heaven opened up, it wouldn't be able to work it out. But he did not understand the concept of floodgates. You see, when I looked up floodgates, floodgates are what are used in dams and levees in order to be able to hold back the water that's in the air. But when they hold back the water, if they want to be, if the water level in the dam gets too big and the pressure gets too much, they open up the floodgates and the water that was on this side of the wall comes to this. Oh, okay, that missed y'all. That missed y'all. Took me a while too. You see, all the water has been backed up by the dam or by the levees, and all the water is on this side of the wall. But if you open up the floodgate, everything that's over here got to come over here. You're spending too much time complaining about your haters and how God is blessing your enemies. Don't you realize God is blessing them over here? Because God about to open up the floodgates and do the wealth transfer. Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And God's about to turn some things around. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's already here. Everything I need is already here. All I have needed, thy hand. Somebody shout, I'm closer than I've ever been. I'm closer than I've ever been. I'm gonna go and see where it is. And then say, God, open up the floodgates. And if even God don't touch them, open up the floodgates of heaven. Heaven got so much. You open it up a little. Stand all over the church, all that are. Woo! Somebody shout, closer. I'm closer than I've ever been. It's right here. All I've got to do is say, baby, get ready, get ready, get ready. Closer. I'm closer than close. I'm closer than close. I'm closer than close. I'm closer than close. Grab somebody's hand, say, neighbor, you're closer than close. Don't you give up. Aye, aye. Woo! I feel that in my belly. I'm close, baby.